Welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, episode 99, with Sarah Kornack and Beth Ann Schwamberger. Today on the show, we're talking with Christy Wright. She's a certified business coach and speaker for the Dave Ramsey Organization. Christy has really great advice for moms in business. So let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
Today on the podcast, we are pleased to welcome Christy Wright. Christy is a certified business coach who speaks to groups across the country on a wide variety of personal development topics like entrepreneurship, side businesses, life balance, and goals. She's also part of the Dave Ramsey team. Christy and her husband, Matt, live in Brentwood, Tennessee, with their son, Carter, and Bernese Mountain Dog, Jackson. Welcome to the show, Christy.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Christy, could you begin by telling us a little bit more about yourself, your family, and how you got started as a business coach?
Sure, absolutely. So I am from Nashville, and so I've lived here most of my life except for when I went away to college. And my husband and I have been married 3 years, and we live here with our little five-month-old little boy. So I've been a mom all of 5 minutes, but I can tell you, you learn quickly all the challenges that moms face. And, you know, several years ago, I started speaking professionally for our company. We just really saw a need to share the message of hope with people, and Dave Ramsey is one man that couldn't be in a million different places. And so I became a part of our speakers group, and from there, we really saw a need for women's voices in leadership and in business. And so I am a daughter of two entrepreneurs, and I'm very entrepreneurial myself, and I have a background in business. That's what my degree is in. I've started two side businesses myself at different times in my life to create extra income. And so I really just saw the need there, and I'm passionate about it. And I continued my education by getting actually credentialed from the International Coach Federation on business coaching. And so have been practicing that ever since, and I really enjoy it. But it is one of those things that the more people I work with, the more I learn myself. So it goes both ways for sure.
Very cool. Can you tell me more about that certification as a business coach? I've never heard about that, and it sounds really interesting.
Sure. It started by just setting a goal. Several Januaries ago, me and some of my girlfriends were on a beach trip. We take an annual trip every year, and we're actually leaving Thursday for our trip this year. And we sat around and we said, what do we want to have done by this trip next year? And we all just kind of brainstormed and shared dreams. And one girl wanted to buy a house, and another girl wanted to do something else with her music career. And I said, you know, I want to become a life coach. And they were all so supportive of that, because where that dream really came from was, it was kind of something I had already been doing. When someone was interested in running a marathon, I helped coach them to get to that goal, since I run marathons. Obviously, working for Dave Ramsey, I've helped a lot of people one-on-one through financial coaching and helping them become debt-free and getting that together. And so I just realized there is something in me that loves helping others achieve their goals. And so that started for me just kind of this journey of figuring out, you know what, I think I want to become a certified life coach and making that a goal for myself. And so I looked into classes and found the most credible organization I found through all of my research was through the International Coach Federation, and that's the governing body for all coaching. And you can specialize in all different types of coaching, and I specialized in business. And so it was something so great that I was able to use my background from my parents, how I was raised in business, my own love of business, and then I get the credentials and the classes specific to the techniques and the skills and best practices to help people with those types of things. So it was a couple years of classes that I took while I was still working full time. But it really gave me kind of the tools in my tool belt I needed to coach professionally versus just kind of winging it based on intuitively what I knew I was good at.
So in addition to being the business coach, you are also a speaker. And I'm sure we have a listener out there who thinks being a professional speaker would just be their dream job and would love to do what you're doing. What are some of the steps that woman could take to achieve that particular goal?
Sure. Well, with speaking or with any life goal, my first advice is just to start doing it. You have to start somewhere. And so I encourage people, give yourself permission to be a beginner. Comparison is the thief of joy, is the famous quote by C.S. Lewis. And so when you compare yourself to people further down the road from you, you can get discouraged and say, well, I'm not as good as they are. Well, I'm not speaking on big stages like they are, and then you just get discouraged. But those people started somewhere too. And so I just encourage people to start where you are. The more experiences that you get, the more reps that you get, the more practice that you get, the better you will get. And you will not become great at anything, especially speaking, if you don't just get started doing it right now and get that practice. Because I can tell you, people look at pictures from my events now and they seem glamorous. We've got big stages and big lights and green rooms and intro music, and it sounds so cool. But let me tell you, I have spent more Friday nights than I can count at Kentucky County Libraries speaking to like 5 people on personal finances, which I know sounds like a really exciting Friday night. And, you know, I've spoken in high school cafeterias. I've spoken to huge auditoriums seated for 1,000 people that 3 people showed up. And one person snored and fell asleep. One person was on her cell phone. So, you know, it's not always glamorous, but I started somewhere, and it was all of those reps and all of those practices and all of those experiences that helped me get better and better and better. And so I would just really encourage people to get started. Another thing you can do is to video yourself. If you really want to be a professional speaker, video yourself. Set up a little tripod with your iPhone and give your talk, whether it's to a room of a few friends, family, or even if it's just you by yourself. And I will tell you, it's brutal. Watching videos of myself is brutal. I watch myself, oh, why'd you say that? Why'd you do that? Why'd you make that face? But it teaches you. It's a very powerful teacher to help you not have weird nuances or habits or tics. Or say, you know, it really teaches you some of the things you're doing that you may not be aware of unconsciously. And then the last thing I would encourage people to do is to take notes. When you're in church or in a conference and there's a really outstanding presenter, take notes, not just on what they're saying, but how they're saying it, what they're doing. Anytime I hear a speaker, I'm writing notes about their content and what they're teaching me, but I'm also writing notes about how they did it. Okay, they made us laugh within 2 minutes. Okay, they got everyone involved within 7 minutes. Like, I'm taking notes. There is an absolute strategy and art and science to speaking. It's not just you're naturally good or you're not. There's a way to do it well. And so I try to really learn from other speakers that are better than me. And I encourage people to take notes to learn from other people that they really respect and admire. And all of those things together will get you off on the right track to becoming a professional speaker. But you really do have to start somewhere. So anyone that'll listen, anyone that'll set up a projector and let you come speak to their group, even if it's for free, get in there, get the reps. And as you get experience, you'll get more confident and you'll become better.
Wow, those are some great tips, Christy. Thank you so much. I loved your point, too, of studying other speakers, and I found that, you know, the more Sarah and I have gotten interested in business, I find I'm looking at marketing strategies everywhere, even when it comes to, like, for example, our church. Like, how are they? It would just sound bad, but you know what I mean? But it's that same principle, like you were saying, even when you're listening to the pastor on Sunday, like, how are they delivering their talk? And
right. It's
true. You kind of get into that mindset where you're always learning and always studying and picking up new tips.
Absolutely.
So many of our listeners are moms who want to start a side business, but they're having trouble getting started and obviously have a lot going on in their lives. What's some of the best advice you could give to a mom that's kind of stalled at the beginning stage of opening her business?
Sure. I would say that the real root of a lot of the stress and overwhelm in our lives, whether it's about side business or just our daily life, is just the unknown. We have all of these things swirling around over our head, keeping us up at night, that we really can't pinpoint what all of them are. And that's what leads to us being stressed or overwhelmed or stalled. And so I encourage women to just make a simple list. Make a list of everything you need to do. If it's in regards to a side business, I would say make a plan. Set out what your steps are going to be to get your business up and going. And when you put it down on paper, it's amazing how your shoulders relax and the stress is reduced simply because you can see it. It's tangible. Okay, now I know what I need to do to get to this goal. So if you will simply just make a plan, because if not, what happens is, and this has happened to me, so I'm speaking from experience, you get an idea and you get excited. And before you know it, you are spending 8 hours on WordPress picking out themes and fonts and colors and pictures. And that has nothing to do with your bottom line. It has nothing to do with getting your business going. You're getting distracted on something that's not a priority. So I really encourage people, make a plan, and that plan needs to rely on you getting started, getting customers, getting revenues, getting this foundation going, and then do some of the fun stuff. But people get caught up in, we have to create a perfect logo. We have to get you know, the perfect website. Well, now I need a website programmer and this is going to cost this much money. It's like, no, just get started. Just start doing this thing. If you're making crafts, start making crafts and getting the word out to people, friends, family, word of mouth. Just start very simply and start doing it in your plan and get people to help you. I would say that would be the second thing. So make a plan. And second, get people to help you because you have tons of people around you, whether you realize it or not, that probably have skills and resources and connections that can help you reach your goal. So if you need someone that to help you with a logo, you may say, hey, you know, say to a friend, I'm really interested in getting a logo. They're like, oh, I have a graphic designer friend that goes to my church. I'm sure they'd help you do that. The ground kind of starts to move beneath you and people start to align themselves with your goals to help you so that it's not all on you to do. But if you'll simply write it down and make a simple plan of first steps, things you want to get going, it will take out so much of the stress. But a lot of times we just fly by the seat of our pants and get overwhelmed in that. But if you'll write it down, it helps you know what mile markers to hit to get to your goal.
Earlier you mentioned that you had started a side business or two in your lifetime. Would you mind telling us a little bit about some of those?
Oh, no, absolutely. So I'll tell you about my first one. And this was when I was 22. I just graduated college and I was working full-time in nonprofit. So I was working crazy, crazy hours. And during this time, I thought it would be a really good idea to move to a 40-acre farm. Now, I realize that this is not normal for a 22-year-old single girl to go do, but it had always been a dream of mine to live on a farm. And so I moved there, and there was a house, and there was an 11-stall barn. And before I moved, I was trying to figure out what this plan was going to be because I couldn't afford the rent at this farm with the salary I was making in nonprofit. So I decided to start a side business so that I could live there and support myself and have animals and live this whole farm dream thing I had going at the time. And so I decided to use what I had. And rather than starting something, you know, completely out of left field, I thought, how can I leverage what I have right here? Well, I have an 11-stall barn. So I decided to start a horse boarding business. And I boarded horses there to help pay my rent. So it used what I already had. It didn't take any extra work or purchases or startup costs or resources for me. I was just leveraging what I already had. The skill of knowing how to take care of horses and the resource and the facility of an 11-stall barn. And I was able to produce an extra income in order to help me pay the rent when I was, you know, starting salary was very, very low right out of college and in nonprofit. And so for years, I was able to live this farm dream and I had horses and fainting goats and a miniature donkey. And I had an amazing experience there. But that was supported through my side business of boarding horses.
That's so fun. sorry. Go ahead, Sarah. I was going to say Sarah has always dreamed of living on a farm, too.
Sarah, let me tell you, it is so much work. It sounds so glamorous, but I had no life. I loved it. I truly loved it. But I spent my Saturdays bush hogging the fields. And I don't know about you, but if you're in your 20s or in your 30s, usually you have things you'd rather do on a Saturday than bush hog the fields.
I'm sure it sounds much more glamorous than it really is. I mean, it's so easy for me to say in my little suburban house here how much fun it would be to live on a farm.
Everyone told me, they said it's going to be so much work. I was like, oh, I'm a hard worker. It's no problem. But when I moved from there, when that season was over, I swore to myself, I was like, if I do this again, which I hope I do, because I still deeply love animals and I love having land. I love everything about that life. But I will have the money at that time to pay people to do things for me. So it won't depend on me cutting the hay and baling the hay on the weekends.
Baling hay. Wow. That wasn't part of my vision.
Yeah.
Baling hay. Yeah. Man, I bet you had some killer muscles from all that.
I'll tell you, I have some killer stories.
But that was really ingenious of you to take what you already had and skills, like you said, already had and turn it into something that would help you to accomplish your goal, your dream of living out in the country. I love it.
Absolutely. And that's what I really encourage people with side businesses to do, is to think about what do you already have? You know, if I was going to start a business now, I wouldn't want to start a business singing because I'm a terrible singer. I wouldn't want to start a business painting because I'm not good as an artist. I would have to take classes and start from ground zero to get the skills to start a business out of that. But I know what my strengths are. I know what my gifts and my talents are. I know things I enjoy. This is a random fact, but for example, I'm really good at doing hair, like prom updos and wedding updos. And so there for a while, I was just kind of put the word out with my friends several years ago that if they had a wedding or a prom or something coming up and they wanted their hair done, I would come do it. And so I did girls' hair, and they were able to, an entire wedding party would, you know, pay me $25 each, which for them is a steal to get an updo. Normally it's like $80 at a salon. And then I would make a couple $100 doing the whole wedding party. And it was good for me and good for them. And it was a win-win situation, but I used a skill I already had. So I really encourage women, you're going to reduce the stress and the barrier to the marketplace if you use what you already have. What are skills and talents and things you've always enjoyed? Maybe you've always loved planning parties so you could plan events. Use what you're already in your wheelhouse of strengths and things that bring life to you, and then you'll enjoy it even more and be more successful.
I love that. I think that's such great advice. And I have to say, in this online space, it kind of feels like we're limited to maybe two choices. Like we could, you know, as moms, like we could have an Etsy shop or we can have a blog. But you just talked about so many other business ideas that are incredible. And like you said, it's just leveraging the skills that you already have.
Right, exactly. What's interesting is whether you're on Etsy or Facebook or you have your own website, regardless of if your side business is a product or a service, regardless, we now more than ever in our country and in our culture are buying based on relationships. And I don't mean multi-level marketing relationships. I mean, I'm going to buy from someone because I know them and I like them and I trust them. And so even if you're on Etsy, even if you're in these other spaces, you have something unique to offer people that people will gravitate towards. And so you don't have to elbow people out of the way to get to the top to get noticed. You just really serve people with excellence in the marketplace and share your heart, and you will attract customers that are drawn to what you're about. And so I really encourage people that you don't have to spend a lot of money on advertising. We are in a culture of relationship selling, relationship buying. We buy because we trust the person, because we like what they're about, and you have something to offer that people need and want.
I think some women get a little nervous about that selling aspect of starting a business. A lot of women don't want to be salespeople. They don't want to be pushy. But I noticed on your blog you had a phrase, stop selling and start sharing.
Right.
Is that kind of what you're talking about here?
Yeah, one of the things I've really noticed is whenever I've been doing research on women with side businesses, is there's this theme of being uncomfortable with selling. And so I've been doing research for about 2 years now and interviews, and we've done surveys, and you're seeing this theme and this pattern where women have a product or service or a side business, but they're very uncomfortable selling it. They don't want to be pushy. They don't want to be salesy. And so they're not really sure how to help their business succeed because they're uncomfortable with the selling part. And so we're actually having an event this fall in Nashville to help women with some of these things that are hurdles. But one of the things that I encourage women to do is to really share their story. And it came out of my interviews, because as I was doing research for this event, I noticed that when I asked women how they felt about selling, many of them said, oh, I'm uncomfortable, I'm not sure how, I don't really know what to say, I don't want to seem pushy. They were very timid about this question. But a couple questions later in my survey, and in my interviews, I said, well, tell me about why you love to do this. What gave you the idea? What makes you want to do this? And they would pour over telling me in detail the joy it brought them, how they love seeing little girls running around the lobby of the church in dresses that they sewed for them. They love seeing, you know, people pull off parties that they planned. They love seeing websites go up that they did the graphic design for. And so as they were telling me their story, they really just came alive, and they had no problem sharing their story. But what's amazing is just by listening to them, I immediately wanted to buy their product. I thought, I want you to design my website. I want to buy a dress that you sewed for those little girls for a friend for a baby shower. I'm bought in now. Like, you have sold me. And so I encourage people to don't be intimidated by the idea of sales, and you got to close the deal, and you've got to do it this certain way, and you've got to be pushy, and you've got to be aggressive and make the ask. I just encourage people, share your story, because when you are in your element, you're in your comfort zone, and you are just sharing your heart with people, the sale will follow. People will fall so in love with your passion and what you do and what you offer, like I was talking about earlier, that they'll want to buy the product. And so it helps you just look at it differently.
I love that. And that you're exactly right. I can think of examples in my own life where someone just shared their story, and it, just like you, it was like, I'm sold. I'm in. Where can I buy? I want to support you. I want to support your mission. That's such great advice. And it's not, then you don't have to sell. You're just sharing. You're sharing your heart. And then the right customers connect with that.
Right. And it's interesting, too, because I think that there have been industries and companies and portrayal of salespeople on television and media even that makes sales seem like this evil thing. But sales doesn't have to look like that. It doesn't have to feel like that. It doesn't have to be inauthentic to you. And you know, I encourage people to think about sales differently. Sales is really influence. And so you are already doing it all the time. Are you married? That's sales. You convinced someone that you are awesome enough to marry. Did you get your kids to eat dinner last night? That's sales. You sold them on the idea of eating their broccoli. Like, we're selling all the time, which is really just influencing. And so if we look at selling differently and look at it as influencing, and it doesn't seem so scary, it really just seems like you're going to be persuasive and likable and share your story and share the incentive, and then the sale will follow. But it doesn't have to be this pushy thing.
You just mentioned the word authentic, and it can be a struggle sometimes in business to maybe stay true to who you are, stay authentic to your values and your goals or to your initial objective that you set out to accomplish in business. Do you have any advice for staying authentic once you get caught up in the world of business?
Absolutely. That's a great question. So whenever we talked earlier about creating a plan, some of the things that I really help people with is before you ever get started, or even if you've gotten started and you haven't done this, to go back and do it. But to write out a mission statement, write out a vision, write out some goals. So if you're starting a side business, you should be able to answer the question, why? Why are you starting it? What do you want the business to do for you? There's an excellent book called Start With Why by Simon Sinek, and it's a fantastic business book, but it applies to life as well. And if you don't want to read the book, it's a pretty easy read, but if you don't, you can Google his TED Talk, and it's 18 minutes, and it summarizes the book. But he talks about how people don't buy what you do, they buy why you do it. But understanding your why isn't just important for selling, to sell to people. It's important for you, just like you're saying, to stay focused on the right track, to stay motivated and know exactly what you're running towards and not get distracted by all of the opportunities or challenges in the marketplace. And so if you'll simply write out that answer to that question, what is your why? Why are you doing it? Is it for extra income? Is it for just having some you time? Is it to help people make a difference in the world? Just write that out and then set some goals. You know, I'd like to make $5,000 in my side business the first year. I'd like to make $10,000 the second year. Set out some goals and mile markers, and that really helps you stay on track. And then as you're making steps and as you're making choices and decisions in the business, you can hold it up against this litmus test and say, does this meet my why? Does this meet my vision of my finish line that I'm running towards? Does this meet the goals that I'm working towards? If it does, great. If it doesn't, it helps you cut out some things that may be distractions and may lead you down that path of being inauthentic, as you said, of something that feels like it's not really what you intended starting out. So it helps you stay focused on the business being about being true to you and what you're about.
That is so true. There are so many distractions. There are a million directions we can go in. I'm so thankful Sarah actually keeps me on track a lot of the time. So we do write down, you know, what's our why? Why are we doing this? But then, you know, I'm coming to her all the time with a new bright, shiny object, and she'll say, okay, but does this fit with our vision?
So, good. Yeah, that's great. You guys are a good team then.
Definitely.
And you do love those bright, shiny objects.
I do. I'm such a sucker for them. Oh, my goodness.
Well, it's so funny. There's a great saying that in every marriage, there is a wow person and a how person. And the wow person is all day, every day. They're like, wow, I have a new idea. Wow, this is amazing. Wow, we should do this. And in my marriage, that is definitely me. And then, because opposites attract, there's usually a how person. And they think, how are we going to do this? How will this be executed? How will we get the money? How will we make it work? And so you really need both for a marriage or a business to succeed, I think.
I've never heard it put that way, but that is too funny.
Yeah, that is
really true.
That is so true, because even those how questions, like, that is what you ask me. That is always what Sarah is coming to me with. How are we going to do this? How are we going to make this happen?
The advice is for the people. So here's the advice for it to work. So the wow person, whenever they come in with their 5,000 ideas, the how person is not allowed to ask any how questions for 24 hours. They're just allowed to, they just have to be excited. They have to be wow with the wow person. And then that what happens is after 24 hours, if the wow person is still talking about it, then maybe they can ask some how questions because maybe they're actually going to stick through this. But more than likely, the wow person has come up with 10 new ideas that they want to talk about on that day. So it helps the wow person from feeling like their parade has been rained on with details. And it also helps the how person actually follow through if something is going to be executed.
That's really good advice. Yeah, because I don't want to be always the naysaying Nelly who's always, you know, kiboshing every, because some of Beth Ann's obviously very exciting stuff has turned out to be really, really exciting and really wow.
Right.
I'm so glad that she had that wow idea. So I love that. 24 hours. That's what I'll do, Beth Ann.
Okay. But you know what, too? And as we've grown in our, like, business relationship, we kind of understand where the other person is coming from as well. So I think over time I'm getting better at knowing that even if you are excited about something, that your practical side is such an asset and some of those questions are super good. So yeah, it totally works. And thankfully too, my husband is a how person also, so I'm lucky to have sensible people.
Wow, people tend to attract them.
Yeah.
I don't know what Mike and I are. I don't really feel like he's the wow person. I feel like we're both how people. I don't know.
And y'all are going to cover your bases, make sure it happens.
Yep. So whether you're a wow person or a how person, juggling a side business is still really tough when you're a mom and a wife and you're trying to fit it all in. Do you have any ideas to make it all work?
Sure. One of the things I've learned, and like I said, I've been a mom for all of 5 minutes, so take that into account here. But one of the things I've learned since coming back to work is I've learned that when I focus on what I'm leaving behind, I feel nothing but guilt. So I'll give you an example. When I drop my son off at daycare, if I focus on how my son is doing and how he feels and does he miss me and will they take care of him and I hope they give him attention and is he going to have enough kids to play with and will he get his naps, if I focus on all of that, then not only am I not present at my job and not able to do what I need to do to be here, but I feel guilt because I'm focused on what I'm leaving behind. But instead, if I focus on what I'm doing, or the importance of what I'm doing, then I can be fully present and not feel that guilt. So when I walk in the office, I focus on the importance of me being here. There are lives to change. There's work to do. There's people that need help. This is a place where I can engage my God-given strengths and make a difference in the world. And so when I focus on that importance, then I don't feel that guilt because I'm thinking, oh, I'm right in my sweet spot, right where I'm supposed to be. Now, my son's still at daycare. That's not taking away from that. But it helps me be present in the moment. And so I think that when you're juggling so many different responsibilities, whether you have a side business or not, if you can focus on the importance of what you're doing right then, it helps you remove some of that mom guilt that creeps up all the time, no matter what you're doing, and helps you be present in your task at hand. And so it goes both ways. So if you are at home and you're getting work emails and you're getting distracted because there's problems with the business, et cetera, if you focus on, I'm home now, I'm mom, I'm going to focus on my kid's soccer game or homework or this craft project with them, and this is important in this moment, then it helps you cut out that guilt of, oh, I've got 6 orders pending, I need to go take care of these orders. It helps you really be present in the moment. And so I would encourage people specifically with business is to set some goals, and these aren't going to be black and white, hard and fast, but if your goal is to work on the business 10 hours a week and your goal is to spend 10 hours a week of quality time with your family, and I'm throwing out numbers here, you make up whatever's true for you, but you set those goals, then just try to make those happen. And once you've met your goal, you know, often the need is unending in business and at home, and so we're constantly feeling guilty because we're not doing enough, but really we did so much. So what is your goal? Is it 10 hours? And if so, then when you've done that, feel good about that. Be proud of yourself and say, you know, no, I didn't get to braid my daughter's hair tonight, but I went to her soccer game yesterday. We did homework the night before, and I've got plans to go shopping with her this weekend. That's going to be 10 hours. I feel really good that I've spent 10 awesome hours with my daughter. No, I didn't braid her hair tonight, but I'm not going to focus on what I'm leaving behind and what I'm not doing. I'm going to focus on what I am doing and be proud of that.
I absolutely agree with that advice. And I know Sarah and I are both big fans of time blocking. And, you know, it kind of goes right with what you were saying in terms of if I set aside that time, you know, if I've decided ahead of time what's important to me. So I want to spend X hours on the business, X hours with my son, quality time with him, X hours as a family altogether, then it gives me that freedom to, you know, in those moments that it's work time, okay, I'm going to focus. I'm all in. I'm just doing work and I'm feeling okay about whatever it is that Holden is doing, whether he's having some quiet play time or he's, you know, he's starting school this year and I feel a little bit of guilt around that. You know, and then the same thing is true when it's time for me and Holden to have a great time together, when we're reading stories or when it's just, it's playtime and we're doing Legos. Like I'm not, and this is really hard for me because my brain is always spinning with so many ideas, but I try to just, like, put that aside. Right now, I'm doing the thing I'm supposed to do. I'm being a good steward of this time that God's given me. Right now, I'm supposed to be right here, just enjoying my son.
Right.
So, yeah.
Absolutely. It gives you permission to be where you are. And I think that's so important. It's the difference between looking through the front windshield and looking in the rearview mirror. There's always going to be more work to do. There's always going to be more hours we could spend with our children. There's always going to be more to do when the need is unending. But if you really just, like you said, be present where you are, look forward and what you're, the importance of what you're working on right then it kind of gives you that permission to be where you are and fully take advantage of that without missing out on one area of your life. Because the reality is, you can feel guilty either way. Women that work in offices, women that work full-time, you know, corporate jobs, they feel guilty for not spending more time with their kids. And women that stay at home feel guilty and struggle with their own sense of purpose and identity in different ways. We all are kind of starving for grace because we're constantly struggling with these difficult choices and there's no perfect answer to them. And so I think just figuring out what's best for you, what are your time blocking goals, and then stick to that and not compare yourself to other women and other moms, but just work on reaching your goals and being where you are, and then you can shake a little bit of that mom guilt that kind of creeps up sometimes.
Related to that, for many people, having a side business at home seems like an ideal situation. You just get to be home and do your thing, and you're running your own business, but we know that it can be tricky when you're a work-at-home person. Do you have any advice for staying sane while you're working at home?
Yes. Well, you need two things. If you're going to work from home, you need two things that you may not realize it, but you do. You'll quickly realize it if not. One is you need a space to do your work. And your space is not your whole home, but if you're not careful, it will be. So if you have a side business, for example, and you don't have an area dedicated to the business, then you will find yourself having piles of laundry on top of orders, on top of takeout food, on top of tax forms and paperwork and that kind of thing. It becomes a big mess that you feel like it is just seeping into every area of your life. And it starts to feel like it's taking over because visually it is taking over. So you need a space in your home that you set and you protect. And it may be an office, it may be a corner of the living room that you block off, it could even be a corner of the garage or attic or wherever you want to go, a section of the deck, but it's a space that you go and you work. And when you go there, you're training your mind, I'm in work mode now. Now, that's not to say that you can't be multitasking and have, you know, the crock pot going and have laundry going and take advantage of the many benefits of working from home, but it gives you a space to go and be focused and dedicate to that. It also, visually for your kids, is a cue, okay, mom's working now. She's in her workspace. So I think having a space for your work is very, very important. The second thing is you need a schedule. If we're not careful, working from home turns into us feeling unmotivated and purposeless and distracted and disorganized. We're staying in our pajamas until 2 in the afternoon. We're kind of half scattered, half getting things done. And it just really leads to an unproductive kind of style of going through life. But the reality is, you can take advantage of working from home. You don't have to get all dressed up in corporate and wear heels and earrings and all of that stuff to go, you know, to go to your space for the day. But the reality is, if you will set a schedule that you honor and you protect every day, you're going to be more productive. You're going to be more energetic. You're going to get more done. You're going to actually even enjoy your work more. So I encourage people to get up, take a shower, get ready. You don't have to get fully ready, but I'll speak from my own experience. When I was working from home, I was more energetic whenever I got up, took a shower, got a little bit ready, had some coffee before I started my day, and still, like I said, get the benefits of working from home. But when you have a schedule and you say, okay, I'm going to start by 8 every day, then you honor that, you get your mind ready. And I even enjoyed my work more. And I know this sounds silly, but I enjoyed myself more. Because when I was scattered and in my pajamas and had all my glasses, I hadn't put in my contacts, and it's, you know, noon, even if I was getting some work done here and there, I didn't feel good about me. And so I just encourage people to have a schedule that you honor and you protect. And then that helps you also know, okay, when I'm working during this time. And when I'm off, I'm off. And so I'm going to play with my kids. Like we said, I'm going to be present. I'm going to, the work day is done. It's not just going on for, you know, an infinite amount of time where your kids feel like you're never actually fully home and present because, again, the business is taking over. So I think the two main things, if you're going to work from home, that you have to have kind of stay sane is you need a space that you set and protect, and you need a schedule that you honor. And it helps your family know what to expect from you when you're going to be working and when you're going to be home. And those two things will really, you're still in control. It's your business and you're at home. So you get the freedoms of being at home, which is a great benefit. But you, those two things will really help you enjoy your work and be more productive.
Awesome. I think that makes a lot of sense. I will confess my space right now, because we've just moved to San Diego and we've downsized. So my space is kind of in the closet, but I have like a little bookshelf / desk that I can put my computer on and my little podcasting mic.
There you go.
My little chair. And I think I'm going to put some little like inspirational quotes on this, on the wall, on the closet.
I like it. Hey, it doesn't have to be a big space or a fancy space. It just has to be a space.
it's my little space.
There you go.
Do you remember growing up, Bethann, how we used to make those forts in our closet?
Yeah.
Like, I remember trying to be like the Smurfs, how they made the little houses and the, like, their own little houses.
Yeah.
So there, now you have a grown-up little and it's, fort in the closet.
And it's perfect for an introvert, too. I feel like it's like this little introvert's haven. And yeah, I do remember that as kids. Like, I remember bringing my pillows into the closet, and even though I had a perfectly good bed to, like, sit and read on, I would just read in a little corner of the closet.
So now you're just realizing the grown-up version of that. I like it.
Christy, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. We've really learned a lot and covered some new ground in terms of moms starting and growing their businesses. As we wrap up, we always like to ask this question. Do you have either a funny or adorable mom moment? I know you're brand new to this world, but I'm sure you can think of something fun.
Yes, well, I will share a funny one. It is not at all adorable. So on my first day back to work, and it was a Monday, and it was pouring down monsoon rain, of course. And so I was dropping my son off at daycare, which is already emotionally traumatic for any new mom the first time they have to do that. So I was nervous, and as I'm driving the car in the monsoon rain to the daycare, on this particular day, I had an awesome media interview opportunity on Talk of the Town. It's a local media station here, and this is my hometown, so I was really excited to be featured on the news and do an interview with them. So I'm wearing a normal, great dress outfit. I've got a white blazer on, heels, all that. I'm ready to go on TV right after this. And so I drive to the daycare, and on the way, I hear from the backseat, diaper explosion, just horrible. I can smell it. I can hear it. I'm like, this is a terrible start to the day. We're going to be the stinky kid before we've ever even gotten into class. I'm like, this is the worst. So I get into the daycare, and I'm carrying my son in, waiting on my husband to get there because he was coming on the first day just to help me get everything situated. And I had to carry my son around until he got there with the diaper bag. So I was like, I'm for sure going to change his diaper before I hand him off to these people. I'm not going to give him, you know, first impression this. So I lay him down when my husband gets there with the diaper bag. I lay him down, and y'all, I'm just not even going to lie, it leaked on my white blazer. And so I'm looking at my blazer going, holy cow, I have to go on TV. There's no way I can go home and change. So let's just be honest. We're going to have a really horrific funny mom moment. Let me tell you what you do when you're a working mom. You make it work and you roll those sleeves up. I went on TV on Talk of the Town, my white blazer with my sleeves rolled up, with a slight accident we had to take care of later once I got home. So pretty embarrassing, but you know what? It's the reality of being a mom. Sometimes you just have to make it work.
You made it work. That's great. That's great. That would be very nerve-wracking right before a huge interview and the first day that you dropped him off to boot.
Yeah, it was a lot all at one time. Luckily, it wasn't very much, but that's not the point. still quite an emotional roller coaster of a morning.
I bet. Well, Christy, could you tell our listeners one more time where they can find you?
Sure. I have a website at christywright.com, christywright.com. And that's where I post a lot of videos and tools and resources and articles. I write a lot about leadership and life balance, and then a lot of work on side business as well. And like I said, we're in the middle of doing some really cool stuff here, so that'll be posted there about events coming up, future resources, and even a book on this in the future. So it's very exciting that we're kind of coming on the front end of this to help people with side businesses.
Great. Yeah, I think it's a very relevant topic in today's day and age. A lot of people want to start a side business because they've got goals and dreams they want to pursue. So yes, it's very relevant. And you had a lot of great information for us today. So thank you.
Absolutely. I enjoyed it.
I just love that quote that Christy gave during her episode. Comparison is the thief of joy. It is so true. We've decided to make a pretty printable of that quote for sale in our Etsy shop, which is brilliantbusinessmom.etsy.com. And for about a week after this episode airs, we're going to price that printable at only $1. So if you love that quote, go snag that printable. I also wanted to mention, Christy alluded to this at the end of the podcast, but she just announced that she is speaking at a live event in Nashville this November. It's called Christy Wright's Business Boutique. And the Business Boutique is all about equipping women to make money doing what they love. So a lot of the topics that Christy talked about, side business, making it all work, I know she'll be talking about a lot of those topics in much greater detail at this live 2-day conference in Nashville in November. There's also a slate of other well-known speakers lined up as well. But I do love that this business conference is geared towards women because we do face different challenges than men trying to start and grow a business. So this is right up our alley, and it has certainly piqued Beth Ann and mine's interest. It sounds like it's going to be a great conference, and I wanted to make sure to tell you guys about it because clearly Christy has lots of great information, and I'm sure her live event will be really awesome. We'll have links to the Business Boutique in the show notes, so be sure to check out the show notes. They're at brilliantbusinessmoms.com/99, and you'll find the link to the new Business Boutique that Christy is going to be holding in November this year. I hope you're having a great week. Now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.